It's a great thing to have a dream, but it's an amazing thing to die to that dream, because when you do, you give it to the Lord and He's able to do so much more with it.
Welcome to Life, Love, and Family.
Today, it's about facing your fears, dying to your dreams, and living powerfully.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs, was I love when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song?
Welcome back to Life, Love, and Family. Hi, this is Dr. Tim. Thanks for stopping by. You don't want to miss today's program. We're going to talk to a couple of guys. They're everywhere. O'Reilly, Hannity, on CBN, talking about the dreams they had. David and Jason Bennett have been on the cover of Inc. to Entrepreneur to the Wall Street Journal. These guys had a cable television show that was going to explode, and it got yanked because these guys believe. David and Jason, welcome into Life, Love, and Family.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Such an honor to be with you, buddy. Good to be here with you.
Hey, as we get started, guys, there is a big story here. We're going to jump into the middle of it with HGTV and all that. But you've got a brand new book out called Whatever the Cost, subtitled Facing Your Fears, Dying to Your Dreams, Living Powerfully. What's the essence of what we hope to get across today? David, Jason?
Well, this is David speaking, and first and foremost, we wrote the book, and we titled it Whatever the Cost, because as Christians, that is the tenet, base, core, foundational element of our faith, is that we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, whatever the cost, and we stand for Him no matter which generation we're in, no matter what nation we live in, we stand for Him whatever the cost. But on the flip side of that, as American citizens, we have to understand that our freedoms were given to us. They were fought for. We have to fight and stand for those, whatever the cost. And so that's a vital component. As citizens of heaven and as citizens of the earth, whatever the cost must be our attitude.
We share a common love, you guys, and let's dial this back for a moment. And that's the sport called baseball. Growing up, I know you guys worked your tail off. I remember when you were playing college baseball at Liberty. I'd come and watch you guys. The thing that made me smile the most, I can still see it vividly. You guys would go up against the fence and take those tight swings time after time after time after time. I can still see you guys doing that. But you guys, the message, the heart of who you are, is as wholesome as America is, apple pie and more. You're just trying to make a difference, willing to work at whatever cost to get there. That's where we begin, right?
Oh, absolutely. And David and I always said, I remember taking those cuts out there at the baseball diamond, and we always said, discipline is doing what you don't want to do to accomplish what you want to accomplish. And while you saw us taking swings out on the field, what we were doing in our dorm room was studying the scripture, and we were really diving deep into the Word of God. And you know, we had been doing that since we were 12 years old. And then when the heat turned up and God tapped us on the shoulder, you know, Tim, it was interesting. The Word of God just poured out of us. It came out from within our hearts. And I would watch videos of us on certain shows and say, oh, man, where did I get that? And it just came out. It was the Holy Spirit.
My son, Zach, I don't know if you guys know this, actually, is a freshman at Liberty right now playing baseball.
Oh, that's great.
And so we started when Zach was 5. And we just, for all those years up to this year, preparing. There are dreams that come with that for every young boy who ever steps on that field. One of them would be to play professional baseball and to go on. You know as well as I do that while you can get there, having that big-time dream fulfilled often comes up short, and you can get lost in all that. How'd you guys manage all that? What happened in your story?
In the book, we talk about how God gives each of us talents, and those talents, we can make them our toys or God's tools. And so with baseball, we had surrendered our careers to Jesus Christ, which made it a tool for His glory. And so when we were both drafted, we held baseball with an open hand. Now, we chased that dream with everything we had. You saw some of that while we were in college. But in our hearts, we had to stay dead to it because, to be honest, Tim, we wanted to be Major League Baseball players, and we thought that's what God was going to do with us for His glory. Well, we never made it to the big leagues. We had to die to that dream and trust that, you know what, God's ways are not man's ways. Sometimes there's a pivot in life, and we don't accomplish our dreams. Are we going to get bitter and resentful and not accomplish what God has set us out to accomplish, or are we going to trust that He is ultimately in control, stay dead to our dreams, and let Him live powerfully through us?
It's hard to go there, though, in your mind.
Oh, absolutely, and that's why we are called in Romans 12, 1 and 2 to renew our mind. The world wants us to conform to its way, which is chase your dream, go after it. You can accomplish whatever you want if you only believe enough. That's what the Polar Express would tell you. But Jesus says you need to renew your mind in God's Word. And then what happens is when you're finding your delight in the Lord, He begins to give you brand new desires. Everything is different, although nothing has changed, simply because we begin to see it differently. And that's what happens when we renew our mind in God's Word.
In the book, Whatever the Cost, brand new book, by the way, that's just soaring, Facing Your Fears, Dying to Your Dreams, and Living Powerfully, both of you had those aspirations to play baseball, and then you wrote about swinging a bat to all of a sudden you're pushing a broom as a janitor. I mean, it was just a real change. And while people, they want to hold on and believe that God's at work in their life and that maybe He can make something new, in those moments, it's hard to have hope. And I'll tell you what I've learned through the years, and you guys, maybe you can address this for a moment. Hope's a really important word. If you don't have any hope, you hang your head. You guys know that if you walk up to the plate and you're thinking you cannot even see that 90-mile-an-hour fastball, let alone hit it, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And if you lose hope in life, you all, it's a dangerous place to be.
Yes, and our hope has to be in an eternal standard. It can't be in a temporal reality. It's got to be eternal hope. And I experienced this. This is David speaking. I experienced this in a real way. When my temporal hopes of making it to the big leagues were smashed, and 6 months after I was swinging a bat in front of thousands of people, I was pushing a broom in front of no one. And I had 12 months of an identity crisis on my hands because I felt hopeless. I was like, God, I'm no use to you anymore. I'm not a pro athlete. I'm a janitor. And the Lord convicted me. We had a conversation, and it was as if I heard the Lord speak to my heart. You know what? Do you really love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Well, then sweep these floors and plunge these toilets with the same zeal and fervor that you did when you were swinging bat in front of thousands of people, and be faithful to me in the ordinary. That's the key. And so we found when our hope is in Christ Jesus, regardless of what we do for a living,
right,
that faithfulness to God is tested in the fires of the ordinary, and that's where our hope can be found.
And Tim, can I just follow up with that just for 1 second?
Yes.
Fear of God and hope of God have to coexist. You can't have one without the other. Fear alone leads to despair, but hope alone leads to presumption. So those two going together, you have the hope of God all together.
And God began to work again in a unique way. The two of you, I think, reconvened. You met in Charlotte, right? And God began to build in your life a new business, a real estate business. Tell us briefly about it, because it's setting up where we're going here.
What Jason and I tell people is that we simply applied biblical principles to the marketplace. We decided to get our real estate licenses. We did that and then began to build our real estate company. And we had no business training, no business mentors, nothing. We just had a set of biblical principles that we outline in our book, and by 2007, we started a franchise. By 2010, we had 100 offices across 35 states. It was a supernatural growth.
And in the midst of it, then, how did you guys get connected with HGTV? And everybody knows the reality TV scene's exploding. But this thing comes to you guys. I think it's a program that was going to be entitled Flip It Forward or something.
That's right. It was in December of 2012. A production company reached out to us and said that they had heard about our business accolades and our families and our professional background in baseball. They thought that we'd be perfect for a reality show. We thought it was a joke, but it ended up being a real thing. And then about 3 months later, they had brought our story in a little sizzle clip to a thing called a Pitch Fest, and we had five networks that wanted us. TLC made us an offer, but HGTV upset that offer and made a really big offer. So that's when we accepted that in the spring of 2013.
So you guys signed 18 months or so working your tail off, building what seemed like an unbelievable opportunity, right?
You know, Tim, it was a whole new dream. I mean, we had already died to one dream. And now we were like, oh, yeah, Lord, we got this, because we were already writing the book and talking about dying to your dreams. And now we were like, okay, this is how God works. When we die to one, we get another bigger dream. Well, in the middle of all of that, Right Wing Watch created a story about Jason and I because we were pro-life and pro-marriage guys. And as a result of them creating that story, they mobilized their activist base and started to assault, when I say assault, send Facebook messages to HGTV, thousands of them, saying, get these guys off the air. Now, we hadn't started airing yet. They were actually airing commercials. They announced our name at the upfronts in New York City in the spring of 14 for our show to air the fall of 14. HGTV then said, you know what, we love these guys. We know them. We're sticking with them. They're going to be stars on our network. But they started getting so much pressure from GLAAD and Right Wing Watch and other activist organizations that unfortunately HG called us and said, guys, this is too much. We got to fire you.
Why all of a sudden? We're talking about two guys who played baseball. We're talking about two guys who worked their soul out, chasing the American dream, trying to live right, got some morals and standards. They're Christian guys. But why all of a sudden? Why are you getting picked on? Why are they coming after you? And who's the who coming after you?
It was Right Wing Watch. See, in 2012, my brother and I led a prayer service for our city in Charlotte the night before the Democratic National Convention, and 9,000 Christians showed up, and we repented as churches, as a nation, just over all the sins that, you know, of course, judgment begins in the house of God, and so that's what we did according to the pattern of Scripture for solemn assemblies. And so within the context of that, Right Wing Watch had popped an article on us 2 years prior to HG. And so, but HG knew all of these things. So when they did their background check on us before we actually signed, we discussed all of this with them. And they knew we weren't haters and all those things. But then when HG announced that we were going to be their next up-and-coming show, that's when Right Wing Watch decided to create a new story on us. And that's when HG actually caved.
They just pulled it. They just said, oh, we're done. This is over.
Yeah, they did. We were very surprised.
Because you're pro-life and because you're pro-marriage.
And that's our angle. But, of course, the angle of the new Right Wing Watch article was that we're anti-women and anti-gay. And, of course, that's just not true. We're not anti-anybody. We're pro-people because Jesus is pro-people. But Jesus, he doesn't love all ideas. So Jason and I, we were asked, not by HGTV, but by several other news outlets, would you guys back off of your stance to get your reality show back? And we said, no, not at all. And so basically the fact that we stood on a transcendent standard of truth and were willing to voice it and express it, that's just not acceptable in today's politically correct climate.
Are you getting any support out there?
Oh, it's been flooding in. And you want to know what's interesting, Tim? Is that there are lots and lots of gay individuals who have reached out to us and have encouraged us to stand strong. And we've reached back out to several of them and have had an opportunity to speak with them and speak into their lives to let them know Jesus loves them just like they are, but he refuses to leave them that way. And so that's been something that's very interesting. It's just a small minority in certain communities that this agenda, which we know is driven by the devil himself, has latched onto and is bullying people around.
Our special guests today, David and Jason Benham, new work called Whatever the Cost, Facing Your Fears, Dying to Your Dreams, and Living Powerfully, Soaring Up the Retail Markets Out There. This book has a powerful message for your heart. I want to ask you guys, what's your take on modern-day Christianity for a moment?
Well, here's what's really interesting. And you know the movie 50 Shades of Grey just came out. You know, I shot a tweet out this morning. Gray is the devil's favorite color because there's no absolute white. There's no absolute black. It's just a strange shade of gray. When we remove moral absolutes in society, things become a pale shade of gray. And the interesting thing, the main actor's name, Christian Gray. Now, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's like Christians, we've allowed the world to influence us instead of us influencing the world. And we do that with truth spoken in love. If you're all truthful and not loving, that's not Jesus. If you're all loving and not truthful, that's not Jesus. So we're just asking Christians, listen, let's surrender our lives totally sold out for Jesus Christ. Let's be all in. And spiritual leaders of the day, Tim, are the ones who are responsible to teach and train their people to distinguish between the holy and the profane, between the common and the uncommon, between the clean and the unclean. And as we see in Leviticus 10, if our spiritual leaders don't do that, fire of God is coming out from heaven, but it won't consume the sacrifice. It'll consume them in terms of not physical fire and physical death, but in death of the spirit. And we don't want that. So we need to be holding up our Christian leaders in prayer and interceding for them that they'll lead people in the right way.
It would seem that maybe somewhere along the way, you guys would just throw up a white flag and say, hey, listen, maybe there's, quote, a softer, more mellow way or something. I see a lot of Christian leaders conceding right now. They're saying, well, this is a post-Christian era. I'm not sure that the message is relevant to modern-day culture. They're tiptoeing through the tulips.
It's funny they say post-Christian. Well, the first century church was pre-Christian. Rome was in far worse condition than America, and yet in 300 years, Christianity brought its incredible influence, and no other religion was tolerated but Christianity. It was amazing what happened. The message of the early church was not be relevant to culture. The message was reverence to God. Relevance to culture came in the wake of reverence to God. And so Jason and I are really encouraging Christian leaders in two areas. One, the Word of God is the sovereign Word of God. It is inspired and inerrant. And two, God is sovereign over all things. There is no sacred secular divide. We don't just throw up the white flag to government or to entertainment or to media or, for instance, marriage counseling and other things. Look, God has something to say about everything in life because he is the one that can bring life. Our Christian faith is a comprehensive worldview that has all of the life-giving answers to today's sin problems.
I can imagine someone listening right now and they're just pounded. Life's been pretty brutal to them. They've had a few dreams crushed along the way. They're trying to hold on. They know this. They're desperately crying out, praying that God's real and that he's going to show up for them. What do you think God wants from them? I can hear him say, what do you really believe that God wants from me right now?
What God wants from you right now is faithfulness. When Jesus came out in Mark 4 and he was baptized by John the Baptist, then the clouds peeled back like a scroll and God boomed down that this is my son. And, you know, at that moment, a lot of people are like, wow, Jesus' public ministry is beginning. But at that moment, God then put him right into the wilderness for 40 days where he lived with the beasts and he fasted and he prayed. And there he was. And all he had to do was be faithful right there when it was dark, when he was alone, when he was cold. And then Satan came at the moment of his weakness. But when he was faithful to obey his Father in the midst of that temptation, it says that Jesus walked into the wilderness full of the Spirit, but he left the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. So when God has got you there all alone in that place, you simply be faithful to him.
And he's there and I can count on him.
That's exactly right. Amen. And he's always been there. And read Hebrews chapter 11. Some men and women were sawn in two. They were beaten and tortured. And yet the scripture says at the end of Hebrews 11, yet none of them received what was promised, that only together with us would they be made complete. Then Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Whether we win or lose according to the world's standards does not matter. We run faithfully, obeying God with perseverance, knowing that in the end we will join that great cloud of witnesses.
I can hear some people saying, Tim, are these guys just radical, or do they really, really believe that at their heart? Is this a message thing they're on? You remember when the lady reached out and touched Jesus? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And he said, you know what? I've never seen such great faith. Where does that come from? How does that seed of hope and faith, how was it birthed inside of the two of you? Where'd it come from? Why are you holding on so tenaciously?
Well, the same reason, as I said in Mark 4, when Jesus was in that wilderness, he was becoming the message. And that's what we do when we spend time alone with God. And he puts us in those tough situations. The strength comes from the strain. I mean, Tim, you got a good-sized chest on you. I know you. You've done some bench press in your day. But that strength comes from the strain that you put yourself under. So when God says, hey, I want to bring you, son, I want to bring you, daughter, to another level, the first thing that he's going to do is put the weight on you. And you're going to have to carry that. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But then in the process, you're growing stronger. And so when David and I got tapped on the shoulder, we had already been through lots of that stuff that we cover in our book. And so now God has just made us into a testimony, and we give him all the credit for it.
And it's a daily dying. I mean, Jason and I have to understand our weaknesses in light of the world and its temptations, and we have to, as Paul said, die daily and surrender our lives to Jesus and spend time with him, and we will grow tenacious in our faith.
Think it not strange that this fiery trial has come to you. Somewhere in the midst of this, what you're saying is, he may not rescue us from troubles, but he's in the midst of them. He'll see us through them. And that's why you hold on tenaciously. I can see those scriptures in Ephesians 6, 10 and following right now where Paul's saying, listen, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Stand with everything you've got. And oh, by the way, when it seems like the wheels have all come off, that's when things are just getting started so you can evidence his life in your life. God's in the midst of it, isn't he?
And you're exactly right. And we have to understand the context of Paul saying, be strong and stand. That was in the early church when they were being persecuted. They were being killed and boiled and beheaded and crucified. And he's saying, be strong. Now, here in America, we have nothing like that. And yet, if we don't get back into the scripture and read it and see the incredible heritage and this awesome faith that we have, then we will shrink back from the fight. Because we have incredible freedoms in this country, we can be strong and defend those, but especially understanding the context of Paul's message to the church, what they were having to go through, we don't have to experience.
Jason, David, we're fighting time here, and I want to give you guys a closing statement. Let me set it up this way. Pretend my 19-year-old son, Zach, is in the room here. He's got a tender heart. He loves the Lord. He wants to stand boldly. He reminds me of a couple of boys who showed up on campus a few years ago. He's got dreams. He texted me last night, said, Dad, when are we doing that book together? We're going to do a father-son book. He just wants to have a testimony for Christ. He wants to battle. He's got warrior in him. But what do you say to him? Because you're speaking this message now to everyone listening.
The very first thing that I would say to a young man is you've got to go deep with the Lord. And as you go deep and focus on depth, God will handle breadth. He'll handle how high and wide you go. It's a great thing to have a dream, but it's an amazing thing to die to that dream, because when you do, you give it to the Lord, and he's able to do so much more with it. But our book basically outlines the guardrails, which is you face your fears on one side, which means you stand up and recognize that your greatest blessings will come on the other side of your greatest fears. But then on the other side, you're dying to those dreams, as we talked about on this phone call. But ultimately, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will live powerfully for Jesus Christ, whatever the cost. But it's going to require discipline. It's going to require you going deep with the Lord and getting into God's Word every single day. And Tim, this is David, and I'll just say, I would tell your son, more is accomplished in the pain cave than the comfort zone. It's time for Christians to get into the pain cave of the Word, to get into the pain cave of speaking truth and love, even when no one else is speaking. Because when we're there in the pain cave, the comfort zone doesn't matter to us anymore. We will be powerful Christians.
I believe with all my heart God's stirring. He's stirring and he's raising up a new generation. And we need to pray that God would raise up a new breed of crazy people in a good way. People who are wholly dedicated, sold out, whatever the cost, to stay true and to stand tall for Him. David, Jason, thanks for being a part of Life, Love, and Family.
Thank you so much for having us. What an honor. Thank you.
Lord, I want to feel with your heart and see the world through your eyes. I want to be your hands and feet. I want to live a life that leads. Ready yourselves. Ready yourselves. Let us shine the light of Jesus in the darkest night. Oh, ready yourselves, ready yourselves. May the powers of darkness tremble as our praises rise. Until the whole world hears, Lord, we are calling out, lifting up your name.
I don't know what your dreams are. I don't know what the mountains have been in your life, those challenges that have robbed you of hope, that have made you drop your chin. You can't see very far. I do know this, that problems aren't really the issue. It's what you do in the midst of them that will determine your future. I just want you to know today that you're not alone, that you don't walk alone. God's there. His grace is sufficient. That's what he taught the Apostle Paul. Paul cried out, God, do something, do something. But God just simply said this, my grace is sufficient. And in the midst of that, somewhere, somehow, God reaches in and it gives us life. It gives us hope. That's why the psalmist says, you are the lifter of my head. It's time to look up and let your strength flow from him. He'll give you the grace. Why don't you just cry out right now to him and say, God, would you lift my head and pour into my life that grace. Strengthen my marriage, strengthen my family. Lord, strengthen my heart so that I'll follow you and chase after you. Whatever the cost, I'll dedicate wholly the rest of my life to you. I pray that for you. And oh, by the way, you probably want to get a copy of this brand new book, Whatever the Cost, by David and Jason Benham. These guys get it. They got fire in them. God's doing a work and they've got a message I believe that you need to hear, to read, to soak into your life. Don't miss this read, Whatever the Cost, Facing Your Fears, Dying to Your Dreams, and Living Powerfully. And oh, by the way, yes, we'd like to pour into your life. You can learn more about us at lifeloveandfamily.net, lifeloveandfamily.net, or call us toll free at 855-455-3264. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to join with you in this journey we call life together. I'm Dr. Tim. Thanks for listening to Life, Love, and Family.
Life, Love, and Family. Women in depression, get confidential help. 1-877-257-9612. Women addicted to alcohol or drugs, get confidential help. 1-877-257-9612. Women with anxiety or eating disorders, trauma, and PTSD, get confidential help. Timberline Knowles Residential Treatment Center, 1-877-257-9612 or timberlineknowles.com.